Well, what a wonderful weekend again to the entire Holt family. Thank you so much for coming out here. But once again, please welcome Pastor Jason Holt.
We are truly grateful for the opportunity to be with you this weekend. So kind of you to include all of us, and we praise the Lord for how he has led us into his word, and genuinely thank you. It's good for us as a family to be with you as a congregational family, to see what God is doing here. We praise the Lord for him and for what he is doing. This weekend, as we have talked through following Jesus together, just as we review, as we come to this closing time in this theme, we want to remember Luke 19. As we looked at those verses, as Jesus interacting with Zacchaeus, the emphasis for the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost. We have a Savior King who has called us to know him in a real and living way. The center of this following Jesus together is Jesus himself. And then this morning, looking at the together part, the tension of together in Deuteronomy 6 and Psalm 78, and throughout Scripture, he continues to point us to the reality that the together is our families and fathers being spiritual heads and to the congregation, and the us of both of those two complementing each other. They're not in conflict with each other. They are designed to complement each other. And so in our culture, at times that we feel this pull, or we may even hear respected believers try and say, it's all about the family or it's all about the congregation, we remember it's both. And that remembering it's both leads us in response to God, in response to our triune living Lord, who invites us then in loving and living and leading to encounter him in real ways through his word, by his spirit. But the first word is the word we really haven't wrestled with very much, the following part. And it's Pastor Brian faithfully put in the bulletin here what I had prepared at first. But the more I prayed and thought about this and came to this time, we'll actually go a little bit further into the book of Ephesians than it says listed there. The book of Ephesians, you may recall, 6 chapters in length, this well-laid-out book under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, Paul writing to this church at Ephesus. The first 3 chapters, the 6 chapters divide right in half. The first 3 chapters look at God and all that he has done and who he is and what he's accomplished in Christ and the understanding of that, of our faith in Christ. We heard read last night, the Ephesians 2:8. It's by grace you have saved through faith. It's not of your own doing. It's a gift of God, so no one can boast. It's all of Jesus and what he has done. And chapter 3, looking at that application for the church. And chapter 4 starts out with this verse, as a prisoner of the Lord then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. And then chapters 4, 5, and 6 unfold 4 individuals that by his grace are following him. This is what the following looks like. And this is the setting for the following with the body of Christ. And then the different relationships that come out in the following for the family. It's very specifically Ephesians 5, talking to husbands and wives, for the family, for parents and children, chapter 6, for the environments of our work, talking about masters and servants or bosses and workers, that all of our relationships, all of our different areas of our lives, some would even use the term vocation for these different roles that we have, and all of these roles, it's following Jesus. It's following him and understanding that following, how through those first 3 chapters of his grace and his work and the cross of Jesus Christ. So right in the middle of this, it has this break. And coming into chapter 4, we're going to look at together verses 11 through 16 and see how through God's administration and God's application for this, that he has something for each and every one of us today to be a part of this following for our own lives and for the lives of those around us together. I invite you to stand out of respect for the word of God as we read in Jesus' name. Ephesians 4, verses 11 through 16. And I read verse 1 and verses 1 through 10 describe some different things here about the oneness, the unity that we have in Christ. And then verse 11. It was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for the works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of men and their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is, Christ. From him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Heavenly Father, we are grateful for this opportunity to consider your word together once again. We ask, Lord, that the nature of following you may be impressed, Lord, even marked on our hearts and on our heads, so that for a lifetime ahead, until we see you face to face, Lord Jesus, that we, motivated by your gospel, may follow you faithfully, all by your strength. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. The Lord has set up in his administration for us to be following him. Everything in his design points to people impacted by the gospel. And since I have used that term a couple times, remind each other right away that the gospel is that Jesus Christ came, that he lived a sinless life, and that he willingly, yes, he chose to go to the cross for you and me, and that he took on the sin of the world, your sin, my sin, everyone's sin. 1 John 2 emphasizes that he paid not for our sins only, but for the sins of the whole world. What he paid was enough for everyone, but it's applied to each one who by his grace receives that. To as many as received him, he gave the right to become children of God. That is the gospel. Jesus Christ and him crucified. Him rose again. Him forgiveness of sins. Him granting new life. That is our message. And we look at the message often, and the message is crucial. The message is everything. But God's also told us here something about his setup, about God's administration, and then also about his application for that for our lives. So as we look, we're understanding following through God's point of view. So notice, first, the administration. Verses 11 through 13 in chapter 4 unpack for us God's way of ordering these things. He's not haphazard in creation. He's not haphazard in anything. He is our ordered, amazing, triune God. And so even in the following him, he has set up things for us. Notice verse 11. He, speaking of the Lord, and going back up to verse 7, but to each one of us, grace has been given us as Christ apportioned it. Our Savior King has set up grace, and we hear that grace and we immediately think of the grace of God. We think things like the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus, his grace being given to us. But a different use of grace throughout the New Testament is his giving, his blessing, his giving spiritual gifts. And so we hit verse 11, and we're told he gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, some to be pastors and teachers. The Lord gives the ministry roles. In God's administration, he gives the ministry roles. We say it time and again, but we have to remember what it really means. Jesus is the head of the church. Your pastor is a great pastor. He's not the head of this church. Your leaders are great leaders. They are not the head of the church. Jesus Christ is the head of Calvary Free Lutheran Church. And from that perspective, it changes how we approach things in following Jesus. We keep that clear about what everything about the congregational life is about is pursuing Jesus Christ and following him. The account is told of a congregation who had a number of pastors in a succession, and they had a new young pastor and were quite excited about the young pastor coming, and the young pastor was determined from the start he would be here a long time. No matter what happened, left or right, he would be here a long time. And the first Sunday, he preached from God's word and was greeting people at the doorway, much like you do here. And one senior saint, she, with a cane in hand, worked her way over to the door. Pastor said, "Hi, nice to meet you," and started the conversation. With a little squinty look in her eye, she said to him, "Pastors come and pastors go, but I'm always here." There's that sense that when we remember that Jesus is the head of the church, it reminds us that all these roles complement one another. Now, I admit to you, for many years, including this week, I struggle at times when we elevate the pastor role way too high, or when we do the reverse and eliminate the pastor role, don't think anything about it. Each and every role here matters. Each and every role here matters. And at times, I've not liked my role. I confess that to you. I've not liked my gifts. I am not first and foremost a preacher. I'm first and foremost a shepherd. And that may sound weird, like I'm parsing something there really small, but I am motivated by sitting with people, walking with people, seeing, praying with people. This is probably sounds crazy, but I could go a year and not preach. The burden that God has given me is for that soul care with people. But by the grace of God, he's given me the opportunity to preach, so I preach Jesus Christ. I guess I share that to remind you the Lord sets up the ministry roles. And if you don't like that ministry role, talk to the Lord about that. Confess that to him. Invite him to adjust your lens through which you're seeing things. Well, I'm just a Sunday school teacher, or am I just a trustee? You are a Sunday school teacher opening the word of life to young people. You are a trustee concerned about the affairs of the congregation so we can be pursuing the head of the church. Your role matters to the body, and the Lord gives the ministry roles. One more piece before we leave verse 11 is he's continuing to call people into ministry. My seminary class of five, I was the odd one. I had gone through and got my bachelor's degree and went directly into seminary. My other four brothers in my seminary class were in their 40s, 50s, and yes, even 60s as they entered into seminary. God is the one who makes and calls pastors and teachers. So whether you're 16, 17 here, or whether you're 66, 67, God is still calling people. If he is wrestling with your heart and mind, calling into ministry, might be volunteer, might be vocational, if he is calling, part of that following is saying yes to Jesus. In his administration, the Lord gives the ministry roles. Second, notice what the roles are for in verse 12, to prepare God's people for the works of service. The purpose for ministry roles is equipping the saints. The purpose for the offices in the local church is not that the pastor and the leaders get up and do everything. It's so that the body is involved in ministry, in the congregation, in the community, involved in ministry. That every area of congregational life is considered in pursuing equipping. This picture of equipping is filling the hand to go after something. It is the leader showing you, opening God's word, showing you works of service, showing you coming alongside others, proclaiming Jesus Christ in our actions and in our attitudes. It is Jesus at work. What would it look like if Pastor Brian did every single role in this church 7 days a week? Other than exhaustion and appropriate concern from his family, it would be wild. Any one person is not designed. God in his wisdom has set up these roles and set up equipping for everyone. If you know Jesus Christ, you have at least one spiritual gift. 1 Corinthians 12 reminds us. You have something to contribute to this congregation. It's a part of following Jesus, is serving him in your gifting, in your burden. But Jason, I don't know what my gifting is. I don't know what my burden is. Here is one easy question. What do you love doing at Calvary? What do you love doing at Calvary? Well, but I might just enjoy doing that. You enjoy washing dishes after a fantastic pot blessing? That doesn't come from you. That is Jesus Christ giving you that gift of serving. Whatever it is you enjoy for the kingdom, for his focus, do it with joy. Do it knowing that he blesses and he's equipping to do others. Pastor and author Andy Stanley puts it this way: information and insight alone do not a leader make. Information and insight alone do not a leader make. In other words, it's not just the content, it is the life connecting with each other. And part of this equipping is that your leaders want to equip you in communicating Christ in all the avenues of your life. In this administration, the Lord gives the ministry roles, verse 11, and the ministry roles are for equipping, verse 12. But what's the goal of this administration, verse 13? Maturity. Notice in verse 13, as this verse 12 ends with, so the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach the unity in the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature. Unity in the faith is brought by the Word of God and the Spirit of God. This maturity in Christ comes from the same, that he is wanting us to continue to progress towards spiritual maturity. We have that reality of that justification, that point in time, if you know Jesus Christ, by his grace, he has that. And then there's this process that he's continuing to renew us by his word and his spirit. And the goal of that is maturity. Not just exercise, not just activity, not just doing more stuff, but maturity. Seeing him clearly, being more and more made into the image of Christ. He does that by his word. He does that by his spirit. The two test questions that come out of that verse is, for you as a congregation, I started to say us because we feel a part of things from just the few hours of being here, but are we united in the faith? Are we pressing on towards maturity? Leadership Journal, Christian publication, online for years and years, they put out a kind of a TAN publication monthly, periodically. A lot of great content in it, but years ago they were mostly known for their cartoons. In one cartoon, there was a man, adult man, standing with a bib around his neck, no shirt on, and a diaper, and holding a pacifier. And swinging the pacifier at his pastor, he said, "How do you know I'm not maturing?" There's a sense that God has enabled us in the body to love and respect each other enough to say, hey, in this area, I need your prayer support. Hey, in this area, I am struggling. The body is a part of God's setup for pressing towards unity and pressing towards maturity. God's design for the congregation. So in addition to this administration, verses 14 through 16, he has an application for us, for believers in Christ, to be experiencing these things in real and living ways. Notice verse 14, the picture changes. That when this unity, when this maturity happens, then it's going to be different than what the Ephesians were encountering, what we are encountering, what our Christian culture is encountering. Verse 14, what are we encountering in verse 14? We'll no longer be infants spiritually, tossed back and forth by waves, blown here and there by every wind of teaching, and the cunning and craftiness of men in deceitful scheming. In my role as National Youth Director, I've been able to travel around, and I ask congregations of thinking about youth, do you see this culture tossed here and there by every deceitful thing? Absolutely. The average teenager in the United States today will have 7 hours and 38 minutes of media intake. The most recent study, when they unpacked that, noting that a lot of teens have two different forms of media going at the same time, they're both listening to something and watching something, that it comes to be 11 hours of media per day. But when we're honest and we look at that, we too, adults, children, all ages, we have a temptation to be tossed here and there by different things. The challenge is a worldly influence, and it's not just outside of us, it's within us. Throughout the world, the devil and our own flesh wanting to go against what God has said. So how do we combat this? How do we go against this? Verse 15, instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ. We're reminded again that Jesus is the head of the church. And addressing this, the application of this, is watching one another so that we're not tossed about by things that are not true. Instead, we're speaking the truth in love to one another. Ravi Zacharias, the speaker and apologist, uses the phrase of this generation. This generation hears with their eyes and thinks with their feelings. So what can meet that? When we are prone to just going along with things in this culture and not asking ourselves what is true, it is the body that God has set up here. It is God's people are part of the equation to address being tossed here and there. But it's not only God's people, it's God's truth, speaking the truth, rooted in God's truth, that addresses it. And it's not just any kind of love, it is God's love. So at the intersection of God's people and God's truth and God's love is the antidote from being swayed here and there. And we see it, don't we? We see it that if someone can just be committed to God's truth and go off on their own, and they can go off some crazy tangents. But God's people and God's love and God's truth, it's an incredible triangle holding us, pressing us towards that maturity, towards that following Jesus, no matter what. And just in case we didn't catch it, verse 16 presses us even further. From him, from Jesus, the head, the whole body, you and me, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, every part of the body, no matter what the role, no matter what the gifting, matters to the body, grows and builds itself up in love, God's kind of love, his sacrificial, giving, unreserved love that he's given to you to give to one another, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Wow. God's truth. His unfailing truth. He is given to God's people to be expressed with God's love. And that we can be following Jesus together. Why? All because of what he has done. All because of how he's set up. In my role, I've been able to partner with some people that have been doing youth ministry for a very long time. One, with youth leadership, Tiger McLuhan in Minneapolis, been able to build a friendship with him. And after 40 years of youth ministry, he says he walks into a congregation on a Sunday and he watches for one first thing. He watches for what he calls hallway conversations or narthex conversations. He says, are they across all the generations? Or are the senior saints over here, the teens over here, and some other adults over here? Part of this picture in verse 16 is that every age and stage is a part of the body, stretching and pushing one another on. Are there going to be times when we want to talk to people our own age and stage about things? Absolutely. But remember the blessing. Remember the picture from Deuteronomy 6 that we have of passing on to children and children's children. And in Psalm 78 that we saw, even on to those that are not yet born. Why? Because the gospel of Jesus Christ matters that much. It is life-changing. It is life-identifying. It is the eternal life that he's extended to us through the cross. You are here in Calvary Free Lutheran Church to be blessed by God's love, by God's truth, and God's people. And you are here to be a blessing in that same reality. A song from a group called Sanctus Real recently released last few years a song called We Need Each Other. Here are some of the lyrics. It's just part of being a family, taking the good with the bad and the ugly. If we could only learn to love, oh, we need each other. So what's the fighting for? Oh, we need each other. Please don't close the door. Oh, we need each other through all the highs and lows. Oh, we need each other because I don't want to be alone. Oh, we need each other, fathers and mothers. Oh, we need each other, all your sisters and brothers. At the intersection of God's truth, God's love, and God's people is the activity of following Jesus together. And it's all of him. He is the head. He set up this administration. He set up this application for us with the joy of the Lord being our strength, running after a lifetime of seeing Jesus in our families, in our congregation, complementing each other, supporting each other, all your brothers and sisters in Christ. Years ago, we had an actor by the name of Bruce Marciano out at the Free Lutheran Youth Convention in Estes Park, Colorado. Bruce was an actor who played Jesus in the visual Bible. It was an account, a movie made looking at the life of Jesus. And there's been many good accounts made of the life of Jesus, many good accounts made of Scripture and showing Scripture. This one, what they called the visual Bible, it pictured Matthew as an older man after Christ has died and rose again, ascended into heaven, and him telling and retelling to a young woman and her child. And so it went from the live action of what was happening and then would step out for a moment and Matthew would describe part of it. But it was all Scripture all the way through. It was just the book of Matthew, the visual Bible. And through the music supporting this and the images, it seemed like you were walking with Matthew through that whole life and death and resurrection. And it seemed like there was that sense that you're being invited in to follow Jesus with Matthew. After Matthew 28, after Jesus dies and raises again, and after that invitation to go and make disciples, the visual Bible pictures one last scene. It pictures Jesus on the shoreline, walking along, just him in his sandals, by himself, walking ahead. And he turns to the audience watching, and he just waves us to come on. And he takes a few more steps, and the last closing snapshot is Jesus looking at us, and with a smile on his face, because his grace has paid it all, he says, come, follow. And he's waving us on by his grace today. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you that you have provided for us everything. Thank you that in your perfect administration you've given us one another. Thank you that you invite us to apply by your truth, by your love, as your people, this pressing on towards a life, an abundant life that you have given. Lord Jesus, as you wave us on today in following you, remind us that your grace is sufficient. Remind us that you are at work, Lord, first in us, and then, Lord, remind us that you're at work through us, impacting one another, all for you and all for your namesake. In Jesus' name, amen.